Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we continue with Perek Tzadik Beis, Chapter 92. The Medrash writes so beautifully, poetically, and emotionally about this Perek Tzadik Beis, how everything about Shabbos is double. Its karban is double, shnei kvasim, two sheep. Its reward is double, its warning is double, even its song is double, Mizmar Shir. Indeed, we will notice the parallelism in every verse of our chapter. Medrash also comments how integral Shabbos is that we received it even before the rest of the Torah, not just received it, but experienced its glory and power when we received the Man, and we received double on Yom Shishi, on Friday, and lived the lesson that Shabbos is the day of Hashem. Shabbos breaks the rules of nature. On Shabbos, we receive not because we worked, not because we earned, but because Hashem loves us. This chapter as well, composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, who merited to teach Shabbos to the Jewish people, was directed to Yehuda. As alluded to in the second verse, Tov Lahodos Lashem, it is good to thank God, admit to God, ideas which are personified by Yehuda. Both in the reason Leah Imenu gave for his name, Hapam Odeh Es Hashem, this time I will thank God, and in Yehuda's ability to admit later on, when he said the words Tzadka Mimeni, she is right, it is from me, referring to Tamar. So let us begin. Verse 1, a psalm, a song for the Shabbos day. Verse 2, Tov Lahodos Lashem, Ulizamer l'shimcha alyon. It is good to praise Hashem, to sing to your name, O Most High. The power of Shabbos, a song to Shabbos. But when we read through these verses at face value, this chapter doesn't seem to have anything to do with Shabbos at all. It speaks of evildoers. It speaks of Hashem's greatness. It speaks of the righteous, of grass, of palm trees, of enemies. It speaks of almost everything under the sun. But in what way is this a song for Shabbos? Let's go back to the beginning. Tehillim is filled with words for song. In his masterpiece, Rav Schwab on Prayer, Rav Shimon Schwab speaks of our two first words, Mizmar and Shir, and introduces them first almost as opposites. Mizmar comes from the word lizamer, to prune. The word shir is actually used in the Mishnah with a completely different meaning, speaking of animals that are usually transported by shir with a leash, meaning to connect. Two words that mean song, to prune, to cut off, and to attach, or to borrow a modern phrase, to disconnect in order to connect. Rav Schwab explains so eloquently that music is literally uplifting. It contains within it the awesome power to disconnect from the trivialities, the distractions, the annoyances and obsessions of the mundane in order to connect us to our essence, to our soul, and to the world of the soul. So this is Mizmar Shir. This is the power of the song. And how fitting for this to be the introduction to a song of Shabbos. The Gemara Yerushalmi teaches that when the Jews were about to enter the land of Israel, the Torah feared that Bnei Israel would get distracted by their fields and vineyards, finally owning their own property for the first time in literally hundreds of years, and they would forget who they were and what their lives were about. Hashem consoled the Torah with one word, Shabbos. On Shabbos, we would not plant or plow. It would be a day to focus on soul. On Shabbos, we would come home to ourselves. And the Radak says that is the meaning of our next verse, verse 3. Lahagid baboker chastecha ve'emunascha balelos. To proclaim your steadfast love at daybreak, your faithfulness each night. We literally thank Hashem for the day of Shabbos. Finally, a day to forget the daily grind of the work week, to let go of the mundane and the stress, and to come home to ourselves, to feed our souls, to reconnect to what we hold most dear. We thank Hashem baboker chasdecha for the morning of Shabbos and the two nights, balelos, both Friday night and Masa Shabbos, Saturday night. Fascinating. Because, of course, the Torah was right to be concerned. It is so sadly true that the work week is not only distracting, it's confusing. We forget. We become entrenched in our routines, in our business, our projects, our monies, politics, ambitions, competitions, worries. Shabbos brings us home. And when we light the candles and stand at Kiddush and look around our table, all becomes clear. We are here. We are home in Hashem's world. But there is another meaning to Boker and Erev that many of the commentaries point to. Mourning is metaphorically used to describe happy times, when we see clearly the providential hand of God guiding us and protecting us, and Balelos, the dark times, when we must have faith in God's sustaining love, even when we can't see. Similarly, Rav Hirsch expounds on the musical instruments discussed in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Each instrument mentioned in Tehillim was carefully selected for the emotional and spiritual definition and power it contained. Here in our verse, we have three: an asor, a harp; a naval, a lute; and a kinar, a lyre. Ale asor, vale naval, ale higayon v'chinar. Playing on a 10-stringed harp with a lute and a lyre together. What is an asor? It is a 10-stringed instrument. 10 represents shlemos, completion, harmony. Medrash says that in Olam Haba, the world to come, the harps will have 10 strings, symbolizing a harmonious world of shlemos, perfection, where we have clarity of the wondrous goodness of every single aspect of our world. It can also represent the otherworldly feelings we are fortunate enough to experience sometimes in our lives down here. Moments not just of joy, but of total peace, peace of mind, peace of spirit, inner peace as well as outer. And then there is Navel, which stems from Naval, worn out and rotted, ultimately connected to Nevela, a corpse. This instrument represents the low times, the hard times, the sad times, the times when we really don't have peace. And here is the awesome truth that we all know. Regardless of the state of mind Shabbos finds us in, at our highest peaks or lowest valleys, it always allows us higayon b'chinar. A kinar represents analysis, thought, contemplation. Both the exciting, joyous times and the difficult, painful ones, both can be meaningful when we contemplate them. And it is on Shabbos that we have the presence of mind to contemplate our entire lives and restore ourselves back to Hashem. Once again, Shabbos brings us home. According to Malbim, these verses and the ones following it discuss the two ways Hashem runs the world of nature and the world of the miraculous, and how each of these ways, of course, gladden us, comfort us. Verse 5. Ki simachtani Hashem b'fa'alecha b'maaseh yadecha aranein. You have gladdened me by your deed, Hashem. These are the moments of miracles. The splitting of the sea, the stopping of the sun, a tiny flask of oil keeping the menorah lit for 8 days. These miraculous sparks remind us again and again that it is all Hashem, that God is the master of nature. B'maaseh yadecha aranein, I shout for joy at your handiwork. On the other hand, there is nothing more comforting as the predictable rising and setting of the sun every day, that Hashem has set up structure in his world, a magnificent world of science and nature, so predictable that it can be studied and depended upon. Verse 6, Ma gadlu masecha Hashem, ma'odam ku machshavosecha. How great are your works, Hashem, how deep are your thoughts? Because there is danger in this duality. A world that Hashem runs mostly naturally with supernatural moments. And that is, we can conceivably forget. We can be lulled into thinking that the natural world we mostly see is all that there is. Hashem allows this dangerous possibility of error for the deepest of reasons. And that is Bechira, that we be free to choose our beliefs and behavior and that ultimately be responsible for our choices. But it does, of course, allow for the risk that verse 7, Ish ba'ar lo yeda, uchsil lo yavin esos. A brutish man cannot understand, cannot know, a fool cannot understand this. And the next verse, 8, reminds us of perhaps the hardest challenge, the hardest reality for us to deal with, to come to terms with, to reconcile, is when the world seems to be so natural, so devoid of godly providence, that the evil thrive, that they seem to get away with murder. Bifroach v'sha'im k'mo Esa v'yatitu kol po'al le'aven l'hisham dama de'ad, though the wicked sprout like grass, though all evildoers blossom. And fools, or fools in us, can get so confused. But the end of the verse reminds us that it is only that they may be destroyed forever. Verse 9, V'atamarom lo'olam Hashem, but you are exalted Hashem for all time. And verse 10, surely your enemies, Hashem, surely your enemies perish. All evildoers are scattered. Hashem, unlike a human ruler, is not limited by time or space, does not need to act immediately. Hashem will often do the opposite. Let a Paro make his declarations and refusals, only to have him chase us right to his watery grave. Allow a Haman to threaten our destruction, until the amazing Vinahapachu, public and shocking turnaround miracle of Purim. In fact, although the evil blossom, they blossom as grass, quick to blossom and quick to die. And the word that describes their destruction is yisfardu. It is a reflexive verb. The Malbim tells us that they will not just be destroyed, they will self-destruct. These evildoers will be destroyed. It is hard for us to have the patience to wait it out. And if it's difficult for us, Radak reminds us here that even Moshe Rabbeinu himself studied with theodicy. Evil prospering and righteous suffering is the most painful of philosophical problems. And yet, we remind ourselves that ultimately justice will prevail. Verse 11, V'tarem kereim karni balosi v'shemen ra'anan. You raise my horn high, like that of a wild ox, I am soaked in freshening oil. Ultimately, the horn of the righteous will rise and will be alive, radiant, in a world of joy, light, and holiness. Most commentaries explain balosi b'shemen ra'anan as soaked in fresh oil, but Malbim explains balosi as dried and worn out, as in the words of Sarah Imenu in Parshas Vayera. In her shocked expression, after hearing she would indeed have a child, Achare balosi hayisi edna, after I'm worn out, will I have the moisture of youth? Here too, it is balosi, our worn out and tired out states, that will be reinvigorated with oil. The Malbim reminds us that when justice prevails, we will be refreshed, revitalized, and energized. Rav Hirsch explains it differently as bila, to prevail, to remain. So balosi ra'anan, to what do I owe my longevity and my youth? Bashemen, clinging to the oil of our mission of holiness. Again, we hear strains of Shabbos, this clarity, this coming home to who we are that allows us to face our difficult challenges of the day. And we hear Moshe talking and reminding us that we carry within us a truth, an echo from Sinai that accompanies us all the time. So that whatever we face, we can always close our eyes and hear this inner message of truth and comfort, as in the next verse. Verse 12, even as our eyes gaze and face our enemies, as those who wish our downfall rise up, tishmana aznai, our ears can hear a different message. And what is that message? Verse 13, Tzadik katamar yifrach, ke'erez belvanon yizkeh. The righteous bloom like a date palm. They thrive like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. And verse 15, in old age they still produce fruit. They are full of sap and freshness. In direct contrast to the evil ones, who blossom like grass, fickle, unsustainable, and transient, the righteous grow like a date tree, like a cedar, which takes not minutes to grow, but decades. Ours is the long story, and that is the message we come home to each Shabbos. It is the message of our survival, of our fealty and love to Hashem. It is that we are the palm tree, the cedar, and God is our rock. And lahagid ki yashar Hashem tzuri v'lo avla sabo, attesting that Hashem is upright, my rock, in whom there is no wrong. Another few thoughts about the date tree and the cedar. The cedar grows tall, but has no fruit. The date palm, of course, is shorter and has a lot of fruit. The righteous contains both. We sometimes feel that by investing in others, we'll stifle our own growth. But the righteous can be both towering high like a cedar, as well as caring for the fruit of the palm. As long as we are shesulim beveis Hashem, rooted in the house of God, we can blossom all over. So we sing to Shabbos, and we sing on Shabbos, whether in moments of joy or stress. We allow the message of the contemplation of Shabbos to reinvigorate us and restore us. We recognize that this is God's world, whether he is pushing the wheel of nature or, so to speak, stopping it to perform miracles. And that ultimately evil, which seems to stand in the way of all that is good and right, will self-destruct. We reconnect to our oil and remind ourselves of our own strength. We are not grass. We are cedars and palms. And the truth of Hashem and his goodness is as solid as a rock. And there will come a day, Tehillim tells us, that we will live this truth, when the beautiful atmosphere of Shabbos will be lived by all of us all the time. So that the peace and perfection of Shabbos is the model that we will one day see the entire world live. Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umenucha L'chaye Ha'olamim, a world of Shabbos forever. Thank you for studying together with Ilui Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara, Bas Chaim Leib.